But what if we just take the whole service and build it around these three elements of what goes into the Lord's Supper? Remember, reflect, and renew. So I'm going to talk about each of those individually. We're going to sing some songs that really glorify Christ and will help us to focus on who he is and what he's done for us. There'll be a video element. And then you're going to have an opportunity to come and take a communion. And we'll have deacons at each of the tables. And you can come as families, come up together and take communion. That's one of the cool things about communion. It's something we do together as the family of God. And so it's why Christ commanded us to do that. But we are so glad that you've taken advantage of this opportunity. So let's go to the Lord now in prayer, and then we'll continue on with the video. Father, we thank you so much for this Lord's Day, where we've been able to come into your house and worship you and sing songs to you and hear your word declared. We're so grateful for your sacrifice, Jesus, for what you did on the cross, shedding your blood, allowing your hands and feet to be pierced with nails, the blood to flow freely from your head, from the crown of thorns, the beating you endured prior to the crucifixion, not to mention the emotional and spiritual suffering that you endured. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become righteous. And then you had never known anything but perfect fellowship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit for all eternity. But on that dark Friday, you allowed yourself to be separated from God because of the dark sin of all humanity. And you did it with a goal in mind, Lord. You did it all for love. You did it so that we could be saved. We could be hidden in the palm of your hand, as we just sang about. In Christ alone, my hope is built. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to come together as believers, as a church. Lord, I just pray that each person here tonight would approach this time very solemnly and seriously. That's what you tell us to do. When you instituted the Lord's Supper with your disciples, that's really what it was all about, to remember. Remember what you have done. To reflect on our own lives, our own relationship with you, and to renew ourselves to you, as well as to one another. Lord, help us to renew ourselves to one another as the body of Christ. I just thank you again for this opportunity and for what it reminds me of and how it renews me to follow you and obey you and love you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now watch this video. I'm going to ask you to look in your Bibles at Luke 22, Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. Again, this is similar to what we talked about this morning. This is during the Passover, and it was on the Thursday night before Jesus was crucified. Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover feast. Little did the disciples know what lay in the near future. Jesus knew, and yet Jesus said these words. Luke 22 and verse 14, when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And then he said, and these words just blow me away when I read them every time. Verse 15, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. It says fervently. Other translations say eagerly desired. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then verse 19 says, and he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. And then look at these last words. Do this in remembrance of me. The first word tonight that I want you to focus on and think about is remember. We are gathered here to take communion tonight in order to remember. I don't know where y'all are going this summer for vacation. I always love to see how my church family goes and where they go for summer vacation. But undoubtedly, many of you have been to the Alamo before. After all, it's the most popular tourist destination in Texas. It has over 2.5 million people that go there every year to visit the Alamo. Y'all know the story of the Alamo. It has a very rich and varied history. It was constructed in 1724 as a home for missionaries and Indian converts. For about 70 years, that's what it was used for. Then in 1793, there were Spanish officials that used it as a cavalry unit. The soldiers referred to the old mission as the Alamo. That's where it got its name, in honor of their hometown. It also served as a hospital for a while in the early 1800s. But most of us probably know the Alamo most of all for an event that took place in 1836, when 200 men stood their ground and ultimately gave their lives as they were besieged by some 6,000 Mexican soldiers led by General Santa Anna. Remember that heroic struggle and the overwhelming odds? And we're all inspired by the famous battle cry. Even if you're not a Texan, remember the Alamo. And that rallying cry ultimately led to the independence of the state of Texas, as you can read about in the history books. You know what happened, though, that was interesting? After that battle, the Alamo lay in ruins for several years. Later on, it was a military post, but it basically became a deserted, forgotten, forlorn place, visited only by vandals and transients and looters. But then in 1905, the Texas legislature purchased the property, and the Daughters of the Republic of Texas became the permanent caretakers of the Alamo. And they fixed it up. And today it's a place people go to remember. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the disciples didn't understand all that was being done and said. They didn't really understand what was going on. But Jesus was making preparations so that we, 20 centuries later, 21 centuries later, could remember what he has done for us. And when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, that's exactly what he had on his mind. He wanted us to have an event or a memorial, not something mystical or magical, but a memorial so we could remember what he has done for us. And I remember, as I think about his sacrifice on the cross, two powerful passages of scripture. First, in John chapter 6 and verse 51, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then I'm also reminded of a great and powerful passage in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, which says, in him we have redemption through his precious blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace. So let's continue to worship him now as we remember. And let's remember by singing a great and grand old hymn that teaches us to remember the old rugged cross. Our praise team's going to help us to remember. And then I'll come back and we'll talk about reflection.
And if you want to just stay seated, that's okay. As we remember Jesus, you know, you can't remember Jesus without what he did on that old rugged cross. Amen.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll share. will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It's shame.
It's good to remember his sacrifice, good to remember what he did on the cross for our sins. But when we come to a time where we celebrate communion, it's also good to reflect. It's not only good, it's necessary. If you're not reflecting on your life, then you're not really participating in a proper way when we take communion. I'd like to draw your attention now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is fast forwarding about 30 years after Christ's death. Paul has founded a church in Corinth. This church is a church that's growing with new believers, but there's also problems. Imagine that. There's problems in the church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he's giving some instructions about how they receive and take communion. So we see that even this early church, just 30 years removed from the death of Christ, practices the Lord's Supper. And he scolds them because sometimes they're coming and they're not having the right attitude. Their hearts are not right. Sometimes they were getting drunk before they even partook of communion, which is another issue I won't get into tonight. But he says something very important. I want to draw your attention to it along about verse 27. He says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord." And then in verse 28, this is where I get the idea of reflecting. He says, "Let a person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink from the cup." So as we have gathered tonight, part of what we need to do before we partake of the cup and the bread is to reflect on our lives, to reflect on our relationship with the Lord. You know, all of us do that from time to time. We reflect on our jobs and our careers, our education, our families. We think about conversations we had the day before or the week before, how we could have maybe phrased things differently. Maybe we look at things we did very well, but reflection is something that we're just programmed and hardwired to do as human beings. Recently, I was in my hometown on the 5th of July at the holiday. And you know, I even though I just live about 30 miles away, I really do not get back to my hometown very often. And when I do, it's usually straight to my parents' house and we're dealing with them or with them. But on this day, I'd played golf at the golf course there in Richland. And so as I was driving back to my parents' house, I thought, I'm just going to take a spin around. I haven't been through here in a while. And immediately, it wasn't very long until I was back into my childhood or younger years again. I was reflecting. I was thinking about things I had done many years before. And so that's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to reflect on, not 30 or 40 years ago, but think about right now. Think about where you are with Christ right now. That's why Jesus gave us this time, this memorial, so we could reflect on who we are in Christ and where we are in Christ right now. That's how we observe the Lord's Supper properly. Too often people come to the Lord's table in a hurried manner or a casual manner. They really don't take time to search their hearts. They don't take time to consider the great price Jesus paid. They just go through the motions, even partaking ritualistically. And I'm not talking about any one denomination. Every denomination is guilty of that. And others may trust in the ceremony itself to save them. All of that is wrong thinking. The Lord's Supper is meant to be a penetrating experience. I love this quote by Tony Evans. I saw it several years ago, and so I've included it tonight. Tony Evans once said, "Communion is a spiritual cleanser to flush the spiritual junk out of your system." And that's how we examine ourselves tonight. That's how we reflect on our lives. We reflect on the condition of our spiritual lives. The Lord's Supper is a time to examine yourself, to test, to scrutinize, to distinguish. Like Johnny Hunt used to say, we must let the searchlight of God's Spirit shine on our deepest crevices in our lives. And so we're going to do that right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and the praise band is going to continue to play softly behind me. I want you to ask some questions in your own mind. No one looking around. This is just you and the Lord doing business and talking together. I want to ask this question. I want you to answer it to yourself and to the Lord. Lord, what is there in my life that is not pleasing to you? Right now, just in your mind, evaluate. Reflect. What is there in my life that is not pleasing to you? Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's an action. Maybe there's something you need to confess right now, just to the Lord, just you and the Lord speaking silently. Aren't you thankful for 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9? If we confess our sins to Him, He is what? He is faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us of all unrighteousness. So if it's an attitude in your heart, maybe a jealousy, envy, strife, anger, maybe there's just some besetting sin, some sin you're doing right now you know is not glorifying to Him. Maybe it's something you need to make right later on. Maybe you need to right now tell Him, you know what, I'm going to make a phone call after this service. I'm going to do what's necessary to repair or restore. I'm going to repent. That's what repentance really is. It's turning away from a sin and doing what you can do to make it right and restore it. Let me ask you again, Lord, what is there in my life that is not pleasing to you? That's how Jesus wanted us to use the Lord's Supper, to reflect on our lives and even repent of any known sin that God brings to our minds. So let's do that right now. Let's just take a moment and pray silently. And after we've had some time to reflect and talk to our Savior, then I'll lead us in prayer. And then we'll sing another song to Him, a song of praise to Him, as we want to make this a time of worship as well. But right now we're going to reflect. Just reflect in your mind and speak to Him in your mind and your heart as your Savior. I'm going to do the same thing right up here. Thank you for this time that we have to reflect. And yes, Lord, we reflect on your goodness and your mercy and your grace. But we also must be very candid and reflect on our own lives, our own inconsistencies. We know that we're flawed, sinful human beings. We know that you give us the power to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we know that there's times where we, like Paul, don't do what we ought to do. We neglect things, or we do things that we don't want to do. And Lord, that pains us. That hurts our hearts, because we know that we're grieving the Holy Spirit when we do that. And so, Lord, we just confess to you right now that we're sinners. We're not all that we should be, and we want to be. Lord, I think I speak for everyone here tonight that I want to be clean and close. I want to live for you. I realize that it's not my actions that earn my salvation, but it just shows that I'm your child, that I'm a new creation in Christ, and I love you. I love you for what you've done for me, and I want to obey you. I want to please you. I want to make your name known. I want people to see my life and see that there's something different about me. I want people to be drawn to you through my life and through my story and through my words. So Lord, help me. Help me to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and long-suffering and self-control. Against such there is no law. And Lord, help me to avoid the works of the flesh or the spirit, and walk according to the power of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would bring to my mind, not even just now, but even tomorrow and in the future, things that I need to do to make things right. Relationships that I need to repair. Maybe a word, an apology, or an opportunity to forgive someone. I just pray that you would reconcile, be a reconciler in my life. Thank you that I have a ministry of reconciliation as a believer and ambassador in Christ. Lord, I just thank you again for this memorial, for the Lord's Supper, communion, and how it gives us an opportunity to reflect on your goodness and to worship you and to renew ourselves to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing another song now, and I think this is an appropriate song just to worship him with all your heart. It's a song that we've sang before, not in a while, but it's, Oh, Praise the Name. Praise the name of Jesus. So we're going to sing that, and then we'll continue.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled. Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
You can be seated. So we remember. We remember what he has done on the cross and his suffering, the shedding of his blood for our sins. We reflect. We reflect on our own lives, our own inconsistencies, but also the hope that we have through the power of the Spirit to live the victorious Christian life. And we reflect on that. And then thirdly, we naturally renew. The last word I want on your mind tonight is renewal. To renew. You see, the Word of God says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We renew ourselves to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "You are not your own. You have been bought at a price." And so as we renew ourselves tonight, I want you to think about a couple of things. First of all, think about the fact that there's a vertical dimension to this renewal. Vertically, my relationship with God, with Jesus. And so I'm renewing myself to him tonight. As I partake of the cup and the bread, as I partake and take communion, I'm renewing myself to him. I'm professing my love for him, my commitment to him, the fact that he is my Lord and he is my guide, and I'm going to follow him. And so in just a moment, you're going to come forward and take communion as we have our deacons come, and you're going to renew yourself to that commitment. But there's also a horizontal dimension, just as there's a vertical dimension. And we don't often think about this, but we renew ourselves not just to our Savior, but to one another. You see, Christ died for the church. And church, we are his body. We are his family. And so we renew ourselves to one another. And that's why we should never leave a Lord's Supper service without being in proper fellowship with one another. We renew ourselves. Sin is confessed and forsaken, but also it's a time for us to repent and renew ourselves to one another and any hard-heartedness we might have. Listen to what Claude King says about that. Claude King says it is a time to return to our first love. It is a time for dealing with sin that has crept into our lives and relationships. Every observance of the Lord's Supper will be another invitation to reconcile broken relationships within the body of Christ. The result will be a clean and pure church that loves and faithfully obeys her Lord until the day comes when we will sit down as a pure bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Isn't that a beautiful picture? When we keep the Lord's Supper special and we observe it as we should, we are looking forward to that day when Christ returns and we will sit together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So let's be renewed tonight. Let's be renewed in our commitment to our Lord and Savior. Let's be renewed in our commitment to one another as part of the body of Christ. And let's be renewed in our commitment to the lost. People around us who need to hear about this hope. They need to hear the message that Jesus saves. And the Lord's Supper is just that. It's a picture of God's supreme love. And so at this time, I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward, those that have been assigned to work at these tables and serve. I'll just remind you, before you take communion, that communion is for Christians only. That's what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're here tonight and you're not a born-again, professing believer in Jesus Christ, we're glad that you're here. We're glad you're watching online. But this is not for you. This is a commitment, as I've tried to explain over these last several minutes, for a believer in Jesus, remembering, reflecting and renewing themselves to their love relationship with Jesus Christ and with one another. And so what we're going to do right now, as the deacons have come, is I want you to bow your heads again. And again, if you want to pray another prayer to the Lord, as you've heard this tonight expressed, just pray to him silently where you are. And then when you're ready, you can come up together. Come as families, spouses come together. Brothers, sisters, family members, come together. Maybe you have a special friend in the church and you just want to come with that friend. Do that. Let's come together.